Before I bring the message today, I have asked Ramona to come and sing a song that goes along with this season of the year. Ramona, come on. I put her on the spot. I told her to sing it on Facebook. If she changes the tune, she does.
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. 'Twas a lonely hillet, Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that is love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that is love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that is love,
you need to lower it. Go ahead.
In death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion, then he took him to paradise. If that is love, the ocean is dry. There are no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that is love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that is love.
Thank you, Ramona. We're going to dismiss our kids to go to their service, and I remind you, if you don't know, for those of you who do not know, next week is a special. Today as well, but next week Ramona's planning a party for you. So she's going to have some special things, and I even have something special for you today that I will give you. So if your kids aren't here today, be sure next week that you come. Some of those things that they've been looking at and saying, man, I wish I had that. Guess what? It's not Santa Claus that brings it, but they just might get something. Okay. The Word became flesh is what I have titled the message today, because we're at this season where we remember that's exactly what happened. And by way of review, I want to review something of what I talked about last week, not going into it in depth, but some of you may not have been here, and I'll just remind you of some of that. But before I begin, let's just pray and thank God that the Holy Spirit is here to enlighten us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you that your presence is here, and that you are the one who enlightens us. You are the one, O God, that reveals your truth. I thank you, Lord. I pray that you will just anoint me to bring this message, because it is a message that is so wonderful, because you came here clothed in humanity, that you might give your life, that we might be united with God. I thank you, Lord. I pray your anointing, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Word became flesh. Last week, as review, I talked about the reason or reasons that God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus, and the reason or reasons that he chose Joseph. And another interesting thing that I would like to mention to you, which I didn't last week, and I didn't put it in the message today, But do you know that you say, well, why did the angels go and bring the message and sing and say glory to God in the highest to this particular group of shepherds? Well, these shepherds were the ones that herded the sheep and raised the lambs that were to be offered as a sacrifice. They were the ones that had to be perfect. And they were on this particular place where they were examined. And then we read about how that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Do you know that the little lambs, when they were born, they were wrapped in swaddling strips of cloth on their legs so that they would have the strength. They would do no damage to their bodies because nothing that was unclean, nothing that was damaged could be presented to God. And so the angels came to those shepherds and said, the Lamb of God is born in Bethlehem. And I think how wonderful Jesus was, the Lamb, the real Lamb of God. And so those shepherds that watched the flocks were notified and they went to worship him. And so I talked about Mary. Mary, of course, was a descendant of the house of David. She had to fulfill prophecy. She had to be a descendant. And she was a child who was dedicated. We look at the history. She was dedicated to God. Even before her birth, she was prayed for. Just as Hannah was prayed for a child, Mary also was born to parents who had no other children. And they dedicated her to God. She was in an atmosphere in Nazareth that was very removed from all the hubbub and the stuff that goes on in the world. You know, our children have too much interaction with the things of the world. We need to remove them sometimes. And so she was a person that was, whose father was the keeper of the scrolls. And he studied the word and he taught her the word of God. And so she had parents that imparted the word of God into her heart. She was taught at a very young age to be willing to be the handmaiden, to be the person that God could use in any manner that he chose. How important that is, that we teach our children to do what God calls you to do. We might have a lot of other things for our lives, but God has a purpose and a plan for each of us. Joseph was also amazingly chosen by God above all other men in his time to be Jesus' earthly father. What a great calling. We say it was so wonderful that Mary was called, but I look at Joseph. God chose a special man to be the father of his own son. It had to be a man with integrity and with spiritual depth. Joseph was from the house and the lineage of David as well, and he was not ignorant and a poor man, as many some people think. He was not a poor man. He was he possessed skills. And he was a carpenter, but that was technological skills that he possessed. He was highly skilled. And God would not have given the assignment of raising the Son of God to a man who had not proven himself in managing the affairs of life, including his money. In Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 11, Jesus taught the important principle that God never gives big assignments to people who have not already proven themselves. He said, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And God was just the same. Joseph was also a merciful, kind, and person. He demonstrated that kindness and that love when he found out that Mary was pregnant when they had not yet come together. They were engaged. A lot of people today, they say, oh, we're engaged, and that gives us the right to be intimate. No, it wasn't. It's not true. And Mary was a virgin, just as the Bible says, not just a young woman, but she was a virgin. And so when Joseph found out, he decided that rather than making her a spectacle, he did not care about his reputation. He said, I'm going to just put her away privately, not let it be known. And so he was he faithfully took his family. Also, Joseph was a solid spiritual leader. He faithfully, the Bible tells us, that he took his family to the feast as he was supposed to. They went, you remember, when Jesus was 12, and they had gone to the Passover feast there, and he got left behind because he was so ministering about his Heavenly Father's business. In Isaiah, so we move on, and today in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verse 2, Isaiah prophesied about the birth of Jesus 700 years before Jesus was born. He said, the people that walked in darkness, and I think that he may have been referring to everybody, especially the Gentiles, because they didn't have a part in that special calling. God had a chosen people. But he said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, on them has the light shined. How many people who have had backgrounds and their history is so dark, but the light of Jesus shines on them, and what a transformation, what a change comes. And there in Bethlehem, that cave about 2,000 years ago, the Creator of the universe entered the human race. The greatest miracle of all time took place when Jesus became a man, and he lived among us for 33 years. He lived. Believers all over the world celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, a time when God Almighty laid aside his glory. He left the splendor of glory, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Calvary. He knew what was ahead for him, but he left all of the comfort and the godliness and the godness, and he left it to appear temporarily in the earth as a man. How wonderful, how marvelous to think that God would discard his divine appearance to actually take on the flesh of man. Not any people would do that. You or I would not lay aside. We've seen some movies where a prince says, I'm going to trade places with this pauper, and I'm going to go and try to be a pauper to see what it's like. And, of course, the pauper becomes the prince. And it's an interesting movie, but not very realistic, because people who are endowed with much don't want to give up that. But Jesus did. So we celebrate the birth of Jesus at this time of the year, and I will tell you, it is not when Jesus was born. He probably, I don't know that they know, but he probably, based on history, was born probably around October. And we don't know for sure, but we celebrate and we remember it. And the time, because we don't know anyway, we want to give God the glory and the honor, celebrate Jesus that he came. The amazing miracle, this amazing miracle is called the incarnation. He came into flesh, a word that describes the glorious mystery of when the Word was made flesh. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The divine nature of the Son of God was perfectly united with human nature in one person. Jesus was both fully God and fully human when he came and indwelled man. He had to become human in order to pay the penalty for our sins, and he had to be God in order to be sinless, to be able to pay that penalty. Joseph and Mary arrived late in Bethlehem, the city of origin for Joseph's Davidic family line, where they were required to register for the census. They could find no place to stay, and the sun set, and the air was cool, probably. They found a nearby cave used as a stable by shepherds. Reaching the divinely orchestrated, secure place to rest for the night, their plans change as Mary's contractions begin and alert her. And I can imagine that Joseph prepared the bedding for the baby in the stone feeding trough in the cave. How many men would be the kind of man that Joseph was to say, it doesn't matter that this is not my child? There are so many men today who assume the role of being a parent, a stepfather or a father, and they don't have that attitude. But you know what? There's nothing in my blood or in your blood that is so righteous that is better than anybody else's. God has made us and created us, and so Joseph was a man that could be used because he didn't have those discrimination tendencies. And he said the little lungs of Jesus probably made the noise and to adjust to life outside of the womb. This was the final manifestation of Gabriel's prophecy to Mary 9 months earlier of a most unusual pregnancy. But it was really just the beginning of God's masterful plan to save mankind from his sin and reconcile the world to himself through the sacrifice of his son, the Lamb of God. That Lamb that was a perfect Lamb of God, slain in the mind and plan of God from the foundation of the world. Before the world was even created, it was already in the mind and plan of God. Revelation 13, verse 8. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb, this is what I want you to hear, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world in the mind of God. You see, it's a tapestry. He sees all of it. He sees the end from the beginning. The animals and those who tended them were probably unaware that their majestic creator had just been born among them. Probably unaware it was just another baby that was born. They had no inkling that God had entered the world in their midst as one of their own in the humble form of a small child. But John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word in this verse is a reference to Christ in his pre-incarnate existence. Before he came to earth, he was called the Word, the living Word. Speaking of him, John wrote that the Word was with God. The original language pictures a face-to-face relationship and portrays the unity that existed in the Godhead before Jesus' manifestation as a baby in Bethlehem. This emphatically means that Jesus is not merely a component of God or a symbol of God, but he is God. He is God. Just as the Father has always existed, Jesus, who is called the Word, has always existed. John continued his description of the pre-existent Christ by saying in John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus himself is the Creator. The Apostle Paul repeated this truth in Colossians 1:16, when he wrote, for by him, by Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. John 1:10 says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This means that when Jesus came into the very world he created, the very people he created did not recognize him. I think about Barabbas as he carried the cross for Jesus and helped him support the cross after Jesus had been so lacerated and beaten. And I wonder if he had any idea that this was the Son of God. But you know, people may not have recognized him, but the wind and the waves recognized the voice of the Creator and obeyed him. Remember when he was there on the ship, the winds and the wave, and the disciples says, what kind of man is that, that even the winds and the waves obey? He was Jesus. When Jesus saw the multitude was hungry, the atomic particles in the food recognized the voice of the Creator and multiplied miraculously so he could distribute food to all the people. That's found in John 6, the 5-13. The particles in the water solidified for the Master to walk on the water he had created. They recognized this, our Creator. He does what he chooses to do. Jesus' physical body was like a tent that God lived in during his earthly life. God literally pitched a tent of human flesh took on human flesh in the form of Jesus Christ and tabernacled himself among us. John 1:14, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Mary pushed for her baby to be born, God himself entered the earthly realm he had created. Paul described this miracle in Philippians 2, 6 and 7. He said, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. The word being in the form of God, the being is a Greek word that describes something that has always existed, always been. Paul is saying that Jesus has always existed. Philippians 2:6 could be translated, who eternally existing in the form of God. That's the definition, more likely what it means. It tells us that Jesus' human birth in Bethlehem was not his beginning, but merely his manifestation, his appearance on the earth in human form. Paul wrote that Jesus previously existed in the form of God and outward form. In Jesus' pre-existence, he looked just like God. He was not just a component of God nor a symbol of God. He was God. As eternal God before he came to mankind as the Lamb of God, Jesus possessed an outward appearance and presence so strong that humans could not endure its manifestation. We remember how Moses, even when God, he could not look upon God. Mankind cannot look upon God in that state, but only as he became human could they see him. So to come to the earth, God chose to reclothe himself with a new form so that he could physically live among us. That is why in Philippians 2:7 it says, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. The phrase made himself of no reputation comes from a Greek word that means to make empty, to empty himself of all of his glory and everything that he had, to evacuate, to vacate, to deprive, or to relinquish, because it was impossible for God to appear to man as God. He willfully, deliberately, and temporarily let go of all the outward attributes we usually think of when we consider the splendor and the majestic appearance of God. God divested himself of all his heavenly glory for 33 years as he took upon him the form of a servant, and he taught those that followed him to be servant just as he was. And he tells us to serve one another, to be a servant. So many times we want to be the main person, we want to be important, but he said be a servant. God literally reached out from his eternal existence into the material world he had created and took human flesh upon himself in the form of a servant. Jesus, in his pre-existent form, had all the outward appearance of God. In his birth in Bethlehem, God took on the exact form of man, appearing and living on the earth as other men. For a brief time in his eternal existence, Jesus literally became a physical man. We know that probably his brothers and sisters did not even recognize that he was God come in the flesh. They did not believe. God could not come in all of his splendor and glory because it would be too great for human flesh to endure. And I have told you before that when I've heard people, and especially my husband, saying, if there's any more of God that comes upon me or in me, my body will explode. It cannot contain the presence of glory and glory of God. That is true. It wasn't just an imagination. It is true. We cannot contain this glory in this human flesh. It's too great to endure. So God reclothed himself to look like us, and he took on our form. God exchanged his royal celestial robes for the clothing of human flesh. Out of his deep love for you and me, Jesus was willing to leave his majestic realms of glory to enter the sphere of humanity. Not only did God become man, but he also took upon himself the form of a servant. The Greek word for servant described one whose will is completely swallowed up in the will of another. Completely. We have some people that like to tell other people what to do, and they love to do that, but they don't like to be one that is swallowed up by the will of the other to do exactly as they are told. But Jesus did that. Jesus came as a servant to do whatever the Father asked of him, which included his sacrificial death on the cross. When the Virgin Mary conceived in her womb Jesus, the eternal, ever-existent Son of God, he was made in the likeness of men. The phrase "was made" indicates this was not Jesus' original form, but it became his new form when God took upon himself the likeness of a man. When Jesus appeared on this earth, he came in the actual form of a man and became like a man. That little baby in Bethlehem, our eternal, ever-existent God, was dressed in human flesh so that he could dwell among men and purchase for the purpose to purchase our salvation on the cross. He was the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world and render its punishment powerless. We remember how John the Baptist, when he saw him coming, he did not even know that he was the one. He said, "I didn't know." But then the dove landed upon Jesus, and John, the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Isn't it wonderful to have sin taken away? He didn't say he takes away some sin, all sin. Because of this great exchange in which those around Christ could see him with their eyes and touch him with their hands, Jesus can now be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has stood in our place. He has felt what we feel, and he intercedes for us with great compassion as our high priest. Now he goes before the Father because he knows exactly what humanity is like. He has lived as a human, and he understands. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus understands and has experienced every emotion and every temptation you've ever had or will ever have. He has faced it all, yet he never fell into sin. Now, God invites us in Hebrews 4:16 to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus bore all of the things. There are some people I heard, went to sleep and left my television on Christian channel, and I woke up to a testimony of a young woman who had been abused and hurt so much in her life as a child, how she turned away and was bitter and hard and felt unloved, and she went into deep sin, all kinds of things that we won't even bother. She was in prostitution and everything. She talked about how Jesus came to her and healed her brokenness. And she's got a movie coming out. I don't remember her name. I was asleep. I just woke up and saw a little bit of it. But I thought it was interesting that the man that married her after she became a Christian, and she had difficulty. Sometimes we have difficulty letting go of the things that have blighted our lives and the mistakes we've made. And we say, "How could I ever be worthy?" God, Jesus made us worthy. He paid the penalty. He hung up that cross naked and wounded. And all of the things that you go through, the shame or the things that you endure in your life, Jesus took them so that you wouldn't have to. And she said that she struggled with it, but she said, "The man I married, every day of my life, of our marriage, She said, he said, you are my treasure. You are my treasure. I'm telling you that you are God's treasure. It doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done. He loves you, and he has paid the penalty for all of that to be erased. You no longer have to carry that guilt, that shame, whatever it is. You don't have to share it with anybody. Just give it to him. There's a song that we sing, and I thought was so appropriate. We say, we sing the song, bring all your needs to the altar. Bring all your needs to the Lord. He is so willing and able to help you. Just bring all your needs to the Lord. We hear testimony after testimony of people. My daughter was telling me just the other day, yesterday I guess it was, that there's a young lady that I know, and she knows. I met her through my granddaughter, and she said, I don't go to church anymore because of this in my life and the abuse, the sexual stuff that went on, and the things that destroyed my life. I cannot go into a church anymore. She said, I feel so dirty. And my daughter was telling her, she said, you know what? Jesus already paid that. Jesus took all of our dirt. He took all of our guilt. He took all of our shame, no matter what it is. As the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, they brought her to Jesus. And he said, I don't condemn you. These people they've laid aside. I don't know what Jesus wrote in the dirt. He may have written the sins that they were guilty of. But I'm telling you, one of the things the Bible says God hates more than anything is a proud look, just the look of pride. We need to see every person we look at, that could be you, that could be me, saved for the grace of God in our lives. And this girl was saying, I don't think I can go to church. And as my daughter began to minister to her, she said, well, maybe if you'll come and just bring me, maybe I can do it. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of broken people in this world, but Jesus came for the broken. He said, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for those who are unrighteous. And we, everyone, have sinned and gone astray in our own way. When Jesus came and was born in that manger, it was for the purpose to become a man, a human, in human flesh, that he could die on the cross and pay the penalty for our sins. I heard a guy say, well, anybody else could die in my place. I mean, there are a lot of good people. Somebody else could shed his blood. No, there's nobody who can shed their blood. Nothing will take away the sins that you have committed except the blood of Jesus. And he takes it all away. He took my sins away. He took them all away. And now I'm singing every day. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And if you are watching this telecast today and you have not committed your life to Jesus and you have felt like you are estranged because of your past, because of something that Satan tells you all the time, oh, no, he'll tell you God has lied. God doesn't lie. And Jesus came and he bore all of the shame, everything that you have ever endured. Jesus took it when he was on the cross. He endured it. And he looked ahead and he saw you. And he said, I'll do it for this one. I'll do it for her. I'll do it for him. And he paid the penalty for our sins. There is no more reason for us to keep them anymore. Just give them to him. Come to the altar and say, here they are. So if you would like Christ in your life, it's the greatest decision. It's at this time of the year, especially when we celebrate the fact that Jesus came clothed in human flesh to be our Redeemer. Let us just pray. Agree with me, Heavenly Father. We recognize that we have all sinned and come short of your glory. There are some who are watching perhaps that have just feel like they cannot be redeemed, that their sin is too great. But we know that there is no sin that is too great that you cannot cleanse and purify. We thank you that you are our Redeemer. We thank you that you love us and that daily you say to us, you are my treasure. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. I pray that you will forgive us of anything that would separate us from you. We want nothing between us and you, and that it could be an attitude or anything. We give it all to you. We lay everything at the altar now and receive you as Lord, as Savior of our lives. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. I trust that you have made the decision to let Jesus be the Lord of your life. He came for that purpose. We want that purpose to be fulfilled. We want to live in his likeness. And he will come and make you just like him if you will allow it. We appreciate you watching today. Thank you for joining us at Living Waters Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you have a blessed, wonderful week as you celebrate the birth of our risen Christ. It's kind of hard. You have to go there. Okay, Bob, I should reach out there. It's a little far for me to reach over, but sometimes he has a hard time telling where that little button is. Aren't you so thankful that Jesus loves you? When I go to the doctor, sometimes I went to the doctor, just talk to